In 2023, my family, including my son and his family, were at the Bryan College Station Church of Christ in Bryan College Station, Texas. We were at a lectureship. And between the lectures, I went out into the auditorium, and I was talking with a gentleman who I had never met before, and somehow during the course of the conversation, it came up that Jesus was Jehovah. Let him keep working. And there we go. Even if we leave it like that, there we go. And he said to me, Jesus isn't Jehovah, only the Father. I'd never heard that before. At first, I thought he was kidding. And I said, you're serious? And he said, yes. And I told him, stay right where you are, I'll be right back. I ran into the auditorium, grabbed my son, brought him out. The thought in my mind was at the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every matter be established. And I said to the man, say that again. He said in front of my son, Jesus is not Jehovah. And my son, to his credit, I stepped back, began to pull verses out of his mind from the book of Isaiah and began to refute what was said. Well, the break was short, and we went back, and I had already made up my mind that I was going to preach a sermon on this. I came across another brother who had said that he also had believed that at one point in his life. And this was apparently more common than I'd realized. 2 months after that, I received an email from my son. And attached to the email was a sermon, Jesus is Jehovah. It had bothered him enough that he had done a sermon on it. I took a few bits and pieces from that sermon, but did a lot of independent research. And tonight, I'm going to bring the lesson to you regarding that particular topic. There's only going to be one point for this lesson, to prove that Jesus is in fact Jehovah. Now it's important as we start this to understand that we deal in a world of proper names. I was in a toy store one time, and the person said to me, Mr. Tallman, would you please get that off the top shelf? And he was referring to me. That's not my proper name. That's a descriptive term. But you find in Scripture descriptive terms. In fact, names back then were descriptive. You remember Nabal? The Hebrew word Nabal means fool. And in fact, his wife knew that and said as much regarding her husband. He's named Fool, and he acts like a fool. Well, this morning we talked about Jacob being renamed by God as Israel. These names had meaning. I always thought Satan's name was Satan. It's not his proper name. We don't know his proper name. We were never given it. These are terms that describe who he is and what he does. You'll see that regarding the church. You'll even see that regarding the Godhead itself. The Godhead has different names. What is the proper name for our God? Before we get into that, we need to understand how man has created false gods. Every one of them have come from the mind of a man or woman somewhere at some point in time. And you see, they're all proper names. Zeus, Apollos, Ares. These are all proper names. We also find that in the Bible, God was named for his characteristics. As you see on the screen, with the exception of that one we're going to be talking more about, God was named for his characteristics. In fact, there's another slide that shows that it went even beyond that. God was spoken of by what he was, but he never had a proper name. And as you heard read, we're going to address that issue tonight. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 13. We're going to skip some verses. And you're going to hear me insert the Hebrew name whenever God is spoken of. And there are many different Hebrew names for God. You're going to see the difference. Starting at verse 13, "And Moses said to Elohim, 'Behold, I'm going to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, the Elohim of your fathers has sent me to you. Now they may say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them?' Elohim said to Moses, 'Hayah, Hayah, I am.' And he said, 'Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, Hayah have sent me to you.' And Elohim furthermore said to Moses, 'Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, the Jehovah,'" it's also pronounced Yahweh or Jehovah, "'the Jehovah, the Elohim of your fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Isaac, the Elohim of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial name to all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Jehovah, the Elohim of your fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has appeared to me, saying, I am indeed concerned about you and what has been done to you in Egypt.'" We skip to 18. "They will pay heed to what you say, and you with the elders of Israel will come to the king of Egypt, and you will say to him, 'The Jehovah, the Elohim of the Hebrews, has met with us. So now please let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Jehovah our Elohim.'" You will notice on the screen that there are two commands in blue. "Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel." That is God giving a command. It's not simply a statement. It is command. It is command language. This is what you're going to say. But notice, he says two different things. Hayah, Jehovah. Two different commands. Two different Hebrew words. Yet in the yellow up there, you will say, see where it says, "This is my name forever." Singular, not plural. Did the Holy Spirit not understand the difference between singular and plural? It's two different commands, two different names. Well, actually, this is going to give us a view into the mind of God, a small view. For you see that there is a connection between these words. Now, there's a numbering system called Strong's, and you'll see the number up there, H3068. H is for Hebrew. That's word number 368. That is the word Jehovah. And it is the proper name of the one true God. It is his name. He selected it. As parents, we get to name our children. In our world today, we don't name our children on their characteristics like they did back then. We call them Sue or Bob or Sam, but that may not have any connection to who they are. But here, God selected a name. And you'll notice the origin word, the Hebrew number 1961, which is Hayah. You see, God was not saying two different things. He was saying one thing. When Jesus said, "I am," and they came to stone him, they understood what was being said here. For you see, the characteristics of God, and I put some of them up on the screen, show God in who he is, his power, his might, his immutability, his holiness, his justice, and the list goes on and on. But Moses asked God a question. What name will sum up who you are? And we find that name is Jehovah, which includes Hayah, He is always in the present tense. He has always been. It's eternality. God is the eternal one. Every one of those gods on that list you saw there were dreamt up in the mind of man. Nobody dreamt up God. He dreamt up everything. He created everything. If there is something created, he's the one that did it. If there is a life alive on this earth, he's the one that gave it life. God is remembered. So when we say Jehovah, we are paying tribute to our God as the eternal one, the one that had no beginning, no end, and that is what God wanted us to remember. You'll notice in Exodus 6, 2 and 3, I'm going to read from there again, Elohim further spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Jehovah. I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as El Shaddai. The word El means God. That's another term for God. And Shaddai means Almighty. I appeared to as El Shaddai, God Almighty. But by my name, Jehovah, I did not make myself known to them. God has finally selected a personal memorial name. And the we have memorials on gravestones. That's what a gravestone is. It's a memorial. It helps us to remember. When we remember God, we remember the eternal one. Now, my question, which person of the Godhead has Moses been speaking to? The Father? The Word? Who was not the Son at this point, or the Holy Spirit? In the Old Testament, you'll see here, I've used colors to help you. Jehovah's in green, and creation is in yellow. And you see throughout the Old Testament, Jehovah created, Jehovah created, Jehovah created, again and again and again. In fact, there is a pivotal verse there. You'll see Isaiah 44, 24. This is one of the verses I heard my son use. It is unique. I can't find another one like it. And thus said Jehovah, thy Redeemer, he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Jehovah that makes all things and stretches forth the heavens alone and spreads abroad the earth by myself. He's identified as Jehovah, the Creator, and the Redeemer. Which person of the Godhead is the Redeemer? There is no other verse like this in the Old Testament. And you'll notice up there I've included a whole bunch of verses. Colossians 1, Ephesians 1, Romans 3, Isaiah 44 and 49. You look up those verses, you'll have the answer to the question, who is the Redeemer? But here, the Holy Spirit identifies Jehovah as both Redeemer and Creator. There's no other verse like it that I can find. And as we go to the next slide, you'll see Jehovah created, Jehovah created, Jehovah created, again and again and again. And you'll only see the word Jehovah in the Old Testament because it's a Hebrew word. But that does not mean that the New Testament is without any use. For you see, in John 1, we have, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And here the Word is spoken of as the Creator. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And just so we don't misunderstand who's being spoken of here. It says he was in the world. And if you go to John, let's see here, 3, John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Which person of the Godhead was made flesh and dwelt among us? For you see that throughout the New Testament, The 1 Corinthians 8:6, it says, the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things made. That's creation. And as you go further, you will see Colossians. And then we come to Hebrews 1:8. And in Hebrews 1:8, the Hebrew writer is quoting the Old Testament, two different places, Psalm 45:6, Psalm 102:25. He says, unto the Son, he says, thy throne, O God, and it goes on, in the beginning you laid the foundations of the earth, the heavens are the works of your hands. The New Testament identifies that the Creator is the second person of the Godhead, the Word who became Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God. It is only when you take what the Old Testament says about Jehovah and compare what the New Testament says, you find that the second person of the Godhead is the Creator. But there's more than that. Paul's sermon on Mars Hill, he speaks of the one that made the world and all things therein. He speaks of the one that gives all life and breath to all things. That's creation. Which person of the Godhead was he speaking of? He was speaking of the one that spoke to him on the road to Damascus, Jesus the Christ, who was formerly the Word. And you'll notice in Acts 17:31 that we start to see something new. Paul connects this Creator to being the righteous judge. And he says that that man, the one who was raised from the dead, which person of the Godhead was raised from the dead? That man will be the righteous judge. And then we find in the New Testament that both the Creator and the righteous judge are in fact one and the same. They are Jehovah. And the Bible's real clear. It speaks of Jesus of Nazareth and that we will appear before his judgment seat. You see, you have to really try hard to miss it, in my opinion. There is no question that the second person of the Godhead, the Word, who became Jesus Christ, is Jehovah. By connecting what the Bible says in the Old Testament to what is said in the New Testament. Now we come to something a little different. We're going to talk about rocks. And you might say, what do rocks have to do with the subject at hand? Well, in the Old Testament, there are different words in Hebrew for different types of rock. But when the translators translated into English, they just said rock. You'll see there's the word sewer, and you'll see the Hebrew number there. It's T-S-U-W-R. It's pronounced sewer. It's bedrock. It's the things that mountains are made of. It's sure, unmovable, unshakable. And of course, these terms are used to show something about God. And then there's Sela, the crag or the cleft of the rock. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. We sing the song. What that is in the mountain heights, if you were being attacked, you would be fighting uphill. It's a place of safety and security. It's a place where you can be free from your enemies attacking you. It shows protection. Those two words are important because they are applied to the second person of the Godhead. Let us look. The word sewer, 1 Samuel 2:2. There is none as holy as the Jehovah, for there is none besides thee, neither is there any sewer like our Elohim. He's sure, he's steadfast. We can count on him. Deuteronomy 32 speaks of the Elohim, ascribe greatness unto our God, Jehovah, the sewer. It has the definite article. He's not a rock. He is the rock. You'll also notice that there is a verse there where it talks about this same bedrock as the creator. Deuteronomy 32:15, where it says, "And he forsook Eloah," that's a form of Elohim, "which made thee," the creator, "and lightly esteemed the sewer," the rock, the bedrock of his salvation. You see, the imagery is there. The Hebrews would have understood this a lot more than we do because we don't speak the language, but it's still there nonetheless. You see that it talks about in Deuteronomy 32:18, "The sewer, the bedrock that begat thee, thou art unmindful and has forgotten thee, God," the word El, E-L, "that formed thee." Creation, the creator, the bedrock, the rock of salvation is all wrapped up in that second person of the Godhead. For you see that the same rock that is Jehovah is the same rock that is the creator, which is the second person of the Godhead, the Word who became Jesus Christ. And you see throughout the New Testament, there are verses up there that deal with that. But the Bible goes further. It talks about a difference, a contrast, their rock versus our rock. And you'll see that they use the same word sewer, but there's a difference. Our bedrock is not like your bedrock. Our bedrock is sure, yours is not. And you see, Jehovah is called that bedrock. Our bedrock is Jehovah. It's also the rock that is my Savior. 2 Samuel 22:47, "The Jehovah liveth, and blessed be my rock, my sewer, my bedrock, and exalted be the Elohim of the bedrock, sewer of my salvation." The rock that is spoken of here is the one that is the Savior. Spoken of in antiquity by the Holy Spirit speaking of Jesus Christ. You'll see 2 Samuel 22:2-3 up on the screen as well. Our rock is bedrock. But you'll notice in that verse you also see that word Selah. This is one of the few verses where both forms are together in one verse. Speaking of Jehovah, he is Selah. He is our protector. And he is our sewer, our bedrock. He's both. It's all wrapped up in one. Now, as we move forward, we find that in the Psalms, there's a lot of talk of this Selah. David was often on the run from his enemies. He wanted the protection of God. And you see here that Jehovah is also spoken of as Selah. These words are important, and we're going to come to a verse in 1 Corinthians where you're going to see why all this talk of rocks is important. In the Old Testament, there were two events where water was brought out of a rock. And the first one occurred at Mount Horeb. In Exodus 17, beginning at verse 5, "And the Jehovah said to Moses, Go on before the people, and take with thee the elders of Israel, and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock," the sewer, the bedrock of this mountain, "in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the sewer, and there shall come water out of it, and the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders." Jehovah, the rock, stood upon the rock. You know the song, "Standing on the rock of Christ my King"? That's where this comes from. He stood there next to Moses. He gave his countenance, his blessing. He was there with Moses, appearing, showing that he approved of what Moses was going to do. And that rock was sewer. Now, the second time happened near the end of the 40 years. The first time was about a month and a half after they left Egypt. The second time it was in Kadesh. And there we find, you'll see the starting there in Numbers 20, it talks about Jehovah being there. But notice, the word is not Sur, it's Selah. It's a totally different word. And we don't find Jehovah standing next to Moses, for he knows what Moses will do. Moses will violate his command. He's not going to be present and give his countenance to that. But the word Selah is used, the protection of God. Even though Moses sinned, water came out of a rock. God protected his people. We don't see that in the English, but it's there. And a Jew, a Hebrew-speaking Jew, would have seen this right away. Now, let's connect the rock to a rock. In 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 4, this is an important verse. Here Paul speaking by the Holy Spirit. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and the sea, and all did eat the same spiritual meat, and all did drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Paul explicitly says the rock, that's that spiritual rock that was spoken of, both Sur and Selah, bedrock and protector, the one that stood next to him in Horeb, that spiritual rock was Christ. It's explicitly said. There's no question, and of course the Old Testament says that was Jehovah. There's no question that Jesus Christ is Jehovah. Now you'll notice that it says that was that rock that followed them. Numbers 14, 14. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of the land, for they have heard that thou, Jehovah, art among his people, and thou, Jehovah, art seen face to face. Thy cloud stands over them, and thou goest before them day by daytime in a pillar of cloud, and in a pillar of fire by night. In Numbers 12, 7 and 8, my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. With him I shall speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, not in dark speeches. And the similitude of Jehovah shall he behold. Wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? The rock that followed them was the Word, the second person of the Godhead, which became Jesus the Christ. And the same was Jehovah. Besides that, the Bible speaks of a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. In Romans 9, verses 31 through 33, it quotes Isaiah 8:14. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone, as it is written, behold, I lay in Sion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. In the original Hebrew, that was Sur. And it's a quote from the Old Testament. And it says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. It's speaking of a personage. It's speaking of Jesus Christ. In fact, Peter, to make sure there's no question, in 1 Peter 2:8 says, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they were appointed. He too is quoting Isaiah 8:13 and 14, where Jehovah is spoken of, and this is speaking of Jesus Christ. Now, all of this is done very simply for a purpose. Jehovah is Jesus Christ. The Old Testament and the New Testament scriptures tie them together. He is that spiritual rock, that bedrock. He is that Sela, that protector. He is the rock that followed them by cloud and cloud of fire. He is the rock that spoke mouth to mouth with Moses. He is also the stumbling stone of offense that was said. The Jews just could not understand a Messiah who died. It caused them to stumble. And you'll see 1 Samuel 2:2 where Hannah says, "There is none holy as Jehovah. There is none beside thee, neither is there any sewer, any bedrock like our Elohim." We're out of time, but were I to have another hour, you would find all you see on the screen. There are additional ways to prove that Jesus is the Christ and he is Jehovah God. But the point that I wanted to make is when someone denigrates the name of my King, I don't take it lightly. We need to praise and lift up our King and to give him what is rightfully him, and to take away from him who he is shameful, something I will not abide. If you are not of the body of Christ, you will notice up on the screen what the Bible has to say about salvation. Not what I have to say or what some man-made group has to say, but the scriptures about hearing the word of God and believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, a change of life, repentance, where you turn away from your sins, confessing Jesus that he is in fact who he claims to be, the Son of God, Jehovah, and King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And finally, baptism in water in order to obtain the remission of sins, as the scriptures show. If you want to be a part of his kingdom, his body, his church, or if you are a brother or sister in Christ that needs the support of the brethren, you can do that and come forward as together we stand and sing.